Come grab the keys. Let's go right now with a new Toyota from Modesto Toyota. Now is the time to grab the keys to that new Toyota you want. You can count on Modesto Toyota for great savings. Come in, check out all the great models and deals, or go to ModestoToyota.com and see all the incoming vehicles like I did, then just pick out the one you want. You can get great prices and special lease deals and save big time on gas with the many hybrid cars, SUVs, and trucks, or you can check out the all-electric bZ4X at a low price or an incredible lease deal. Yes, it's time. So let's grab the keys to your new Toyota. And you know, since 1965, Modesto Toyota's had thousands of happy customers like me because of the great service and great prices. So now's the time to grab the keys to your new Toyota and win big time. There's no dealer markup, and the time has never been better. It's where I get my Toyotas. Come find out for yourself at Modesto Toyota and ModestoToyota.com.
Back here on Pop and Lund alongside Greg Pop, I'm Kerry Crowley filling in for John Lund. It's time to turn our attention to the Giants and the Padres. They open up a three-game set at Oracle Park this evening, 7:15, right here on The Leader. And here to help us set up this series and talk Giants baseball, it's our good friend Andrew Baggerly of The Athletic. Bags, how are you this morning?
Hey, Kerry, I'm good. How are you?
Doing quite well. Hey, you got out of Coors Field just in time. Giants play a three-game set in Colorado, and tonight the Rockies and the Mets are snowed out in Denver.
That's just crazy. I mean, I didn't even have to put a jacket on in 3 days there. And you pack for every eventuality, because I've been there when it's been 90 degrees during the day, and then it drops 40 degrees in about 2 hours. I mean, it can be crazy there. And I never had to put a jacket on once. It was nice and warm the whole time, but it does not surprise me one bit that it changed so quickly.
Without a doubt, especially the Rocky Mountains in the springtime. You get some volatile weather and also in the fall. I got both you guys on, and you guys know this guy well, and Kerry, you wrote about it in the Bay Area News Group, and Bags, I want to get your thoughts on the retirement of Joe Panik, and I know he became a father for the first time, but he's still a young man in his early 30s. He had great bat-to-ball skills throughout his career, and obviously the epic double play that he turned in Game 7 with Craw off Eric Hosmer in Kansas City, the homers he opened the 1 year, one against Kershaw, one against Kenley Jansen. We thought he was on his way with a new approach and maybe a 20-homer year. So I'll start with you, Bags, and then, Kerry, I want you to jump in as well. Why did Joe Panik retire in his early 30s, do you think?
Well, I think, in a way, the game kind of tells you, right? And the game may be changing back a little bit this year, but I think the whole launch angle revolution was just something that didn't match his game. You know, he was a guy, I think, tried to make some changes, but you know, he's someone who kind of hit the ball on the ground and got a lot of hits by finding seams and with the combination of shifts and the way the teams are scoring runs. I kind of left him a little bit out in the cold. And, you know, he's a really good defender, but obviously his second base is less premium defensive position. So he kind of found some edges there that weren't too favorable for just how teams were going to value him. But you know what, I don't think you ever really look at a career like Joe Panik and you say, well, it's too bad it didn't last longer or it was disappointing. He was part of some great moments. He'll always be at the center of some huge, huge moments in franchise history. You know, he's going to be cheered whenever he comes back. He's someone who is a great teammate. You'll never find someone to say a bad word about him. I mean, I even when he would have a day when he was a little bit down, you know, he never treated anyone poorly. He never brooded. He was always just a very, very respectful person. And I think that, you know, you can't really ask for more than to have that reputation as you go out of the game.
Yeah, there were times in 2017, 18, 19 where Joe Panik, to me, he was clearly hurting, and he didn't necessarily let everyone in on that. You know, there were back injuries. There were different things that he dealt with finger, thumb. And I just think that the game took a toll on him in a way where he didn't necessarily have the same range at second base as he did when he came into the league. Bags, obviously, Gold Glove Award winner in 2016, but the defensive metrics at the end weren't nearly as favorable. So not all that surprising. I would imagine he would have continued if he got some major league bites, but not necessarily as appealing to go down and work your way back from AAA when you've got a family, when you've got opportunities outside the game, and who knows, he may be a college coach. But when you think Joe Panik, I think of Of course, the home run he hit against the St. Louis Cardinals in the Game 7 glove flip double play that will go down as one of the most iconic double plays in Giants history. And the men that he made it with, Brandon Crawford, Brandon Belt, will be on the field tonight. And the guy who hit into the play, Eric Hosmer, will be on the field tonight at Oracle Park for the San Diego Padres. So just a testament to their staying power with Crawford and Belt, but also to Panic and his place in Giants history as well.
Yeah, that's a good observation. I always forget Eric Hosmer is the guy who hit into that double play, and it's kind of amazing. You know, the Padres tried to basically give Eric Hosmer away, anybody who would want to take on a big chunk of his contract, and couldn't find anyone to do it. And he's another guy who just hits a lot of ground balls, and you look up, and he's been one of the most productive hitters in baseball this year thus far. So, and there's a big reason the Padres are where they are, along with Manny Machado, who's probably the NL MVP right now. So, that's a really good observation, and I think I think of that, and I think of Joe Panic hitting the homer to win opening day, 1-0. I believe that was the year when Madison Bumgarner got hit by a line drive in the last spring training start, broke his hand, and Ty Block ended up being the opening day starter, and they beat Clayton Kershaw 1-0 at Dodger Stadium on Joe Panic's homer. So that's another one I think that stands out for me.
And then he homered the next day off of Kenley Jansen.
Yeah.
I thought this guy's on his way to a 20-homer year.
Back-to-back saves for Hunter Strickland.
That's right. Wow, you're going way back. We were talking earlier about the three different championship teams, and they had different closers every year, different outfielders, and different second basemen, going from Freddie Sanchez in 2010 to Marco Scudero and what he did in 12, and then Joe in 2014. And now to segue to the modern team, and you had a big piece up in The Athletic after Wednesday's game on Tyro Estrada, which is fascinating, where some of the numbers are not great offensively, and then some are leading the league. He passes the eye test for me defensively. The double play that he turned on the feed by Wilmer, and then the ball that he charged to get Connor Joe in the same game bags, it was like, whoa. But my question is, Tommy La Stella is back, and you saw what he was able to do in his game the other night with a 464-foot bomb. And you do have a full-time DH here. Estrada is clearly better defensively. So how do they divvy up playing time here? Does Tommy have to DH to get in the lineup? How often will he play at second base? And then amplify your point about some of the numbers to good and bad, both for Tyro Estrada and The Athletic on Wednesday.
Yeah, I think you got a good summation of what's going on here. I think La Stella's going to probably DH a lot more than he's going to play second base. He will play some second base, but I think that's going to be a way to keep him healthier to DH and also to give the Giants a better defensive alignment. Estrada, I think, has started all but three games this year. He's been very, very durable. This is load management applies to everybody, so I'm sure he'll have his days off sprinkled in too. But you're right. You're looking at into his numbers, he's not a guy who really jumps off the page, both the sort of traditional metrics and the Statcast metrics. He's 9% in terms of barrel rate and lowest 20% in hard hit rate. He's got about the 15th lowest walk rate of all major league players who have enough plate appearances to qualify for the batting title. And, so he's not a guy who's a huge on-base guy. He's got about .280 on-base percentage. He's not a guy who's necessarily making a lot of hard contact. And entering the series of cores, he had a few more fly balls to nudge him out of last place. But he had hit the most ground balls, had the highest ground ball to fly ball rate in the major leagues. And so you'd think that, wow, this guy's got to be a huge drag on the lineup. And instead, you got a guy doing that who's hitting sixth or seventh, by the way, and he's leading the team in runs scored and is maybe one or two runs off of being in top 10 in major leagues in runs scored. And he's at the middle of everything. He's obviously a very smart base runner, and that's what stands out to the Giants coaching staff, to Gabe Kapler, is just how heady a player he is and how – it's not that they can say to him, hey, we think maybe if you bunt a little bit more, you can change the defense and get some of those ground balls to go through on the left side. All you have to do is say, hey, what would you think about bunting more? And he says, oh, yeah, then if I do that, maybe I can change the defense. Maybe I can get some hits to go through the left side. I mean, he just understands it. They don't have to explain anything to him. And I think that they really, really admire that. And, it's probably one of the reasons that he's here. This is not really to say anything negative about Mauricio Dubon, because I think that he's well-liked in the clubhouse and is someone who has a lot of excitement and a lot of tools. And he was traded to a really good team that wants him. So clearly he's a valuable baseball player. But I think that, the sort of that baseball intelligence, there's just no comparison with Tyro Estrada.
Come grab the keys. Let's go right now with a new Toyota from Modesto Toyota. Now is the time to grab the keys to that new Toyota you want. You can count on Modesto Toyota for great savings. Come in, check out all the great models and deals, or go to ModestoToyota.com and see all the incoming vehicles like I did, then just pick out the one you want. You can get great prices and special lease deals and save big time on gas with the many hybrid cars, SUVs, and trucks, or you can check out the all-electric bZ4X at a low price or an incredible lease deal. Yes, it's time. So let's grab the keys to your new Toyota. And you know, since 1965, Modesto Toyota's had thousands of happy customers like me because of the great service and great prices. So now's the time to grab the keys to your new Toyota and win big time. There's no dealer markup, and the time has never been better. It's where I get my Toyotas. Come find out for yourself at Modesto Toyota and ModestoToyota.com.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed watching Estrada. Loved when he came up, thought that he was a great addition to the 2021 team. And I know that the numbers aren't necessarily outstanding this year, but I just think that his style is what you like from a middle infielder, and the Giants need someone like Estrada in their lineup. Bags, another player that I wanted to ask you about, young player who the Giants had high hopes for this year and things just haven't panned out how they anticipated, Joey Bart. I know that we touched on this last week when I was in for Greg with John, but you know, another tough series for Joey Bart. You have Gabe Kapler saying we need more from the eight-hole hitter. What do they do here? Is he still part of the long-term plan? Do you think the Giants have any second guessing of themselves for going into this season with just Bart and Casale on the 40-man roster? The state of Joey Bart in the catcher position right now.
You know, I think if they are second-guessing themselves, maybe it's because they're reevaluating just what the penalty is of all those strikeouts, because they knew there was going to be a lot of strikeouts, maybe not this amount. But he's still posting kind of a league average OPS. You know, he's not that far off the average production for a catcher. And you think, well, that's wild. I mean, he's striking out so often. But, you know, I think we need to keep looking at these guys in context. And the current context is what's a league average player is a lot less production than what it had been. But at the same token, I think that the strikeouts in a game like Wednesday were really damaging. I mean, you had Estrada on base four times, and Bart was hitting behind him, and the three times that Estrada was stranded, Bart struck out behind him. You know, you don't even have a productive out. You don't move the runner at all. And, you know, those things, you don't want to rely on your offense doing that all the time. You're going to end up, not minimizing rallies if you're trying to manufacture all the time. But, you know, you do need to do it on occasion, especially at a place like Coors Field. You need to try to keep rallies going as much as you can. And those strikeouts were just really, really damaging. Ball in play there. A lot more good things can happen, and the Giants haven't been able to rely on that from Joey Bart, and that is a problem. It is something that I think they knew would be part of the bargain, and they'd be willing to live with it. And in some ways, what else he's done as a player, the ways he's contributed, he has been a positive in a lot of other respects. But boy, those strikeouts really are kind of glaring, maybe even more than they had assumed they would be.
Yeah, particularly in a year where, you know, the ball's being put in play, you're being rewarded for that. Maybe the ball isn't flying as far, but you mentioned Eric Hosmer earlier, Tyro Estrada. Those are the type of players who are having a bit of success right now. And Joey Bart, obviously the OPS is good, but the Giants would love to see that average tick up just a little bit more. Andrew Baggerly of The Athletic, thank you so much for joining us here on this show, and enjoy the game tonight.
Yeah, have a good weekend.
Come grab the keys. Let's go right now with a new Toyota from Modesto Toyota. Now is the time to grab the keys to that new Toyota you want. You can count on Modesto Toyota for great savings. Come in, check out all the great models and deals, or go to ModestoToyota.com and see all the incoming vehicles like I did, then just pick out the one you want. You can get great prices and special lease deals and save big time on gas with the many hybrid cars, SUVs, and trucks, or you can check out the all-electric bZ4X at a low price or an incredible lease deal. Yes, it's time. So let's grab the keys to your new Toyota. And you know, since 1965, Modesto Toyota's had thousands of happy customers like me because of the great service and great prices. So now's the time to grab the keys to your new Toyota and win big time. There's no dealer markup, and the time has never been better. It's where I get my Toyotas. Come find out for yourself at Modesto Toyota and ModestoToyota.com.